side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. What a tremendous joy it is for us today to be able to return to share with you another Souls Harbor worship service. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. Today I want to encourage you to join in with us as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, as we give Him praise for the things that He has done, the things that He's doing right now, and even for the things that He will do for us in our tomorrows. It's never too early to praise Him. And today we are entering this service with our eye towards the future of what God has in store for us. I'd like you to just listen while I read to you a portion of Scripture that will help set the tone for the very first song that we're going to hear sung. It's something that Paul the Apostle tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 16 he writes, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now that might not excite everybody in our audience today, but as far as this old preacher's concerned, it sure excites me. When I think about what God has awaiting for us, perhaps just around the next corner, I have a feeling it's a lot closer than we might think it is today. Well, Jonathan Garlock is coming to sing this very first song. It's an old song, so perhaps you know it. You've heard it before. I like it. It says there's going to be a meeting in the air. Let's think about it a little bit as we prepare to enter this service today. And think about it in these terms, that any moment now, we could be enjoying all the promises that God has ever made about eternity in a place called heaven.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, and of Jonah and the whale we often sing. There are many, many others in the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. I'm by the Lord, will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I want to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. There the doubters will be missing altogether. There the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to hear the call. There will be no crying over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burden and our anguish will be lifted. It's a meeting in the air. Well, there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I want to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It'll be glorious, I do declare. For God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Yes, God's own Son will be the leading one. It's a meeting in the air.
Do you find it true today that the more you think about heaven, the more you talk about heaven, it begins to sound just like the place you want to be? Think about what this world is offering to us today. And then think about all that the promises of heaven talk about. Heaven sure sounds like it's going to be a far better place than this place. Today, the things of this world don't mean much to me, especially like they used to. Family and friends are important. All the rest isn't really all that important. If we were to lose them, we really wouldn't miss them. And yet, when I think about heaven, I begin to think about it more in terms of, well, like the song that Morris Gray is coming to sing. That sounds like home to me. That line in this song that says, it's right where I want to be. And today, the more I think about heaven, it is true. I have a longing for a place I've never seen, I've never been. But oh, how it sounds like home. Listen to the message of this song as Morris comes and shares it with us today. That sounds like home to me.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the tree of life is blooming there forever, and a is waiting there for me. And it sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to ever dim our eyes again, and the hills will echo story as we sing of His grace and His glory. And where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside that city, a crystal river flowing by the tree of life, and no pain or disappointment there I heard of. For Jesus Christ Himself will be the light, and it sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to ever dim our eyes again, and the hills will echo story as we sing of His grace and His glory. And where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me. Yes, it sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to ever dim our eyes again, for the hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and His glory. And where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home to me.
I'm certain that with all of these songs about heaven that we will hear in this service today, and with all of the comments that we will be making surrounding the subject of heaven, that there are some folk who may feel like that in this world of troubles, trials, burdens and cares, sorrows and discouragement, that heaven is too far out of reach. With all of these things working against us, within ourselves we may feel like we have no hope of ever getting to such a place. For those of you that may be feeling that way, I want to remind you of something today that I hope will serve as an encouragement to your soul. The thing about heaven we need to always remember is that we don't get there on our own. That the God who created heaven for us to inhabit is a God who is going to help us to get there, no matter how difficult life may become. I know we don't live in a world today that's very conducive to making us hopeful. When we look at the things that are happening around us, it makes us hopeless. There's not many things that comfort us, but there are a lot of things that discomfort us. We're not encouraged that our world is going to get better. We're discouraged that our world is going to get worse. I'm not trying to paint a picture of gloom and doom. I'm simply giving recognition to the fact that that seems to be where our world is at. Despite the many wonderful good things that are happening, it seems like there are an equal, if not greater, amount of evil things that are happening. I'm one of those that doesn't feel like our world is better than it was. I feel like that we have compromised too many times, and now we're living with something that is not what it could be. So today, we are leaning on God, relying upon Him even more than perhaps we used to get us through this world and then to get us to the next world. One of those things that helps is the help of prayer. We can always go to God and tell Him about our trials, our troubles. He understands the tears that we may weep. He knows the brokenness of our heart. He knows the weakness of our abilities. And He makes the difference for us, helping us with all of those issues. So today, let's do what God has given us the opportunity to do. Let's wrap up all our troubles and trials and take them to Him in prayer. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, You know how so many today are struggling through the different things that have come knocking at their door, things that have forced themselves in upon them, weights that they are having to carry that, Lord, they didn't think they would ever have to carry, going through things that they thought would never come to their place of abode. And yet, Lord, tragedy comes, circumstances happen, and Lord, we find ourselves dealing with more than we have power and strength to deal with. So, Lord, I bring all of our audience to You today, asking You that as You look upon them, see them at the different places they are at. And, Lord, I pray that You would extend a hand towards them and begin to touch them with Your almighty hand, delivering them from these things that would drag them down. Help them, Lord, to step a little higher, to get a little closer to you, and in that they will find all that they have need of for this world that they are contending with today. Help them, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
I have seen my dearest loved one given to darkest death. Sadness filled the room as he drew his final breath. He lived a life of pain, but now he'll suffer no more. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Beyond the grave is life everlasting. There we'll live again to face death's sting no more. No more goodbyes. God will wipe the tears from our eyes. There's no more dying beyond the grave. For years and years I've read about this place called Canaan Land. If I should ever leave this world by the way of death's cold hand, I'll be in my brand new body, so don't you weep for me. By the time I take my final breath, I'll be kneeling at Jesus' feet. Beyond the grave,
part of the song that talks about life everlasting, how that beyond the grave there'll be no more dying. Oh, I think that's the part that interests the most of us, to know that we only have to face death but once. Today, if we're ready to meet God when that moment arrives in our life, then we have nothing to be fearful of. Death isn't going to be that big a deal, because we will enter into the presence of God, where we will forever be with Him. Think about this for a moment. Dying sometimes can take place before we ever reach the door of death. It seems like that there are a lot of things that we have to face in life that takes a little bit from us. It's as if a part of us has died. We go through times of troubles and trials. Adversities that come our way become such that that it takes a little bit from us. It's a sad life that reaches the end of the road, and they're glad that it's the end of the road, so that that would mean they don't have to face any more trouble. Well, I'd hate to think that I was facing death unprepared, because if you think it's bad here, imagine facing eternity unprepared, with your life not ready to stand before God in judgment. You see, that kind of death would be the worst kind of death for anyone to have to face. Troubles and trials are a part of life. Adversities are a part of life. Difficulties are a part of life. Storms are a part of life. It gets so that at times we're fearful to see a dark cloud on the horizon, because the cloud indicates that something is coming our way, and we become fearful of what it might be and what it might do. I'm looking forward to a day where there will never be a cloudy sky. In fact, I think it would be good if Holly Warman could come and sing the song that I've asked her to sing today, because it talks about what I'm talking about. It's an older song, so you may know it. If you do, please sing it along with her. She's coming to sing a song that's entitled "The Unclouded Day."
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. They tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds ride. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home when my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of a land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where the storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in that city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives other sorrows far away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
I would imagine today that with all of this talking and singing about heaven and eternity, that there are many in our audience that has but one question on their mind. Pastor Rick, when is it going to happen? Well, the answer to that question is, I don't know. Nobody knows. In fact, the Bible tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour. We do know this. It's going to happen at some point in our life. We can pick up a newspaper on any given day, turn to the obituary section of that newspaper, and discover that you don't have to be old to face death. In the newspaper obituaries every day, there is a record of somebody that left this earth way too early in life. I suppose there is a part of us that says, if we live a good long life, it's all right to lay down and just go to sleep in the arms of Jesus. What a tragedy it is for a young person to leave us. Well, that's the problem with death. It's not a respecter of persons. It comes to the young and it comes to the old. We don't know how we're going to leave this earth. I suppose that's the other question people want to know. How am I going to leave? Well, we know sickness is a part of life. I think the news has been filled with the story of sickness over these last few months. We're probably tired of hearing it, but tragedy occurs and people are taken so very, very quickly without warning. Well, I want to put into this mix of thought today this. The Bible speaks of a day when the church will be suddenly caught away. We don't know when that moment's going to be either. We just know from this prophetic word that we are in the season of God's return. Today there's a song that I'm asking Pastor Dave Bean to come and sing that talks a little bit about it. He's coming to sing a song that's entitled The Midnight Cry.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight we'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. Then the dead in Christ shall rise. Look around me, and I see prophecies fulfilling, and signs of the times are appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. And at the midnight cry,
will rise when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. Then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry. Comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
I hope that you can forgive me for doing this today, but I have to pause in the midst of this service to once again ask you to consider helping us with the financial load of presenting this Souls Harbor worship service on Sunday morning. This service is brought to you today by the free will offerings of you, the viewer. We don't take anyone's gift, regardless of its size, we don't take anyone's gift for granted. If you can only give a little bit, we understand that's how it is. If you are able to do more, we're very grateful for that. And know that when God takes the little and the much and puts it together, it always seems to come out to just what we have need of. And today we're trusting that God is going to do that one more time. Especially in this economy that we're in today, we know that it's a challenge for folk to give anything extra. Your finances are already being stressed to the limit. We've seen prices of everything go up, and they're still going up. Who knows where the ceiling is as to how high they may go? I don't want to discourage you with that, but I do want to remind you that when you sow into the kingdom of God, God will take good care of you. I believe that even in the midst of an economic crisis, God will protect you because you have remembered Him in your giving. Today, we ask you to please prayerfully consider. Please don't just dismiss us as being an expense that you don't want us to take care of, but please prayerfully consider what God would have you to do to help us here at Souls Harbor. I know God's talking to some folk. Here in the last few days, we've lost some big supporters through death. Their giving has come to an end, and we're feeling the impact of it. We're praying God will raise up some men and women that will be able to take their place because, well, we just need folk like that. And God knows where there are some folk that are like that, who will bear the burden of this ministry and support it with their financial giving. If you'd like to help us, then please take note of the contact information I'm about to give you. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. If you'd like to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. You can also take advantage of making a contribution online. Just visit our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. There in the bottom left-hand corner of the homepage, you'll find a button that says Donate. Just click on that button and you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. I know that clock is very quickly ticking away and we're running out of time, but please give me just a quick moment to say thank you so much for all the help that you are about to give to us. We'll be able to return next week because of what you've done this week. So we thank you ahead of your gift for being obedient to the voice of the Lord and giving whatever He has laid upon your heart. All right, very quickly, I want to run over and sing a song that, I just love to sing. It's a song that talks about where we're headed today, just like we sang at the beginning of the service. It's a song that says, "Where the roses never fade." I trust this song will bless you today as we sing it for you.
I am going to a city where the streets of gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. For a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Love ones gone to be with Jesus in their robes of white arrayed. Now they are waiting for my coming where the roses never for a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never
Well, it's true today, friend. I may not know when I'm going, but I am comforted in knowing where I'm going. I don't know. Maybe I've got another 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years. Who knows? I may not have another 50 minutes. But whichever way it goes, it's going to be all right because my life is prepared. I am ready to meet God today. Today, our world is changing. and I'm afraid that it's not changing for the better. So many things that could be, things that should be, are not, because we have laid them down as if they were unimportant, not realizing that by laying some of these fundamental principles down and not living according to them, we have taken things away from our world today that could be beneficial. They are positive things. They are things that could unlock the power and presence of God upon our world. And if there's anything our world needs today, it needs to experience God in a greater way. I know that we've talked a lot about heaven, and that's where we're going to finish today. But I need to stop here long enough as we look to the Word of God to identify some things that we need to recover if we're going to see a last revival in our day. When I say a last revival, I'm talking about a demonstrative move of God where men and women come to know Him as Savior, where their lives are not only redeemed but are filled with the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, where in these last days we are seeing a thrust of the gospel where people are readying themselves for eternity. If God were to come today, I'm afraid a lot of people that could be ready will be lost. I'm going to make a bold statement, and it's going to be a statement that not a lot of people are going to like. But I am fearful that a lot of people will be left in the pew if God were to come today. Because we just are not applying ourselves to the things of God where we're really having an experience in God. We may have a bit of a knowledge of Him. We may have encountered some things where we come to call ourselves Christians. But we have not entered into a depth where God has really gotten a hold of our lives, changed our lives, and empowered our lives. I know that sounds judgmental, that sounds critical. And a lot of people are not going to like it when I start talking about these things. But I believe there are four fundamental principles that we need to recover if we're going to be ready for God when God comes to receive us unto Himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I wish that I had time to read the bulk of this chapter. I don't. I'm only going to read the very first verse. But friend, please, take time to read it all, because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll hear what I'm trying to say. This is a terrible day that we need to take note of and do something about. Paul says to the young evangelist in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Now, I know I use this passage a lot, and I think every time I use it, I point this out. Paul is saying that there is a last day. I think we're living in those days. This is what he says about the last days. He says, "Perilous times shall come." Now, the reason I want you to read on when you have time to do it is because the thing that Paul is describing that represents the peril of a last day world is the things that he's finding in the people of God. This is why it's a perilous time. It's because it's not that it's just sin in the world. There has always been sin in the world. There has always been troubles and trials, tragedy, and circumstances that are deplorable. They will always be found in the world. But when we begin to find them in the church, that is the peril of a last day. You see, we always look to the church as the answer for the things that our world is delivering to our doorstep. How do we deal with deplorable situations? How do we deal with troubles and trials, circumstances and situations that yield tragic results? It's through the things of God. It's through this blessed book that we find what we have need of to restore our lives when life has knocked us down. But when those things are no longer clung to, when we no longer hold to the truth of God's Word, we're left with an emptiness. And that emptiness can't deal with the things that our world is bringing to our doorstep today. Now, I know I don't have much time, so let me quickly give you these truths, these fundamental principles, and then you can dwell on them after this service is over. The first thing I think we need to be mindful of is that we cannot forget, we cannot afford to forget that it still takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin. It's through the shed blood of Christ that the grace of God brings to us forgiveness. Without forgiveness, your sin cannot be cleansed. So it takes forgiveness to cleanse us. It's good to know, it's comforting to know that when we ask God into our hearts, that the blood of Jesus wipes all sin away and we can begin a brand new life in Him because we have a fresh start. What would happen today if we came to God for salvation, but our status, our situation didn't change? We'd still be lost. Today, the amazing grace finds us, delivers us, changes us. That is the change point of our lives. It's when we are saved. Jesus said in Matthew 26 that His blood would be shed for the remission of sins. Hebrews would tell us that if we were to reject that offering, that there was no more an offering for sin. It's through Jesus' shed blood that we find salvation, and nothing can change that. Whether you choose to believe it or not, it is the truth of God's Word. Therefore, it is the reality of our lives. It takes His shed blood to wash our sin away. I know a lot of people are looking to good works today to be their means of salvation. I've heard people say at funerals that the person was gone to heaven because they were a good person. They were a moral person. They did good works. Friend, as commendable as it is to be a good person, to do good works, to live a good moral life, that's not enough. It takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. And in the washing of our sins, then we can be ready for heaven. Oh, I got to hurry. The second fundamental principle that I want to talk to you about is that it still takes the Holy Spirit to give us power. Oh, I'd like to preach right here for about a half hour because, friend, we're denying ourselves the very thing that we have need of to deal with the things of this world when we are not giving the Holy Spirit control of our lives. I know in our day we're taught not to give control to anyone, but here's a power you can trust. Here's a control you can trust. Trust in the Holy Spirit. It'll never do you wrong, but it will give you power to deal with our present world. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "is come upon you." Now He goes on to tell us that we shall be witnesses, but I want to remind you, it's that power that we receive through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that gives us power to overcome the things of this world. Let me just take a moment, a quick moment, to remind you of what is said to us in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and chapter 3. In chapter 2, it says that to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life.
To him that overcometh, they shall not be hurt of the second death. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. To him that overcometh, I will give him power over nations. To him that overcometh, he shall be clothed in white raiment. To him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. How do we overcome? We overcome through the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. It is as if the Holy Spirit is the vehicle that gets us to where we're going. And without it, we are going nowhere. Well, we've relegated it to the back corner. It's become a neglected truth of God's Word. But the Bible teaches us that when we get saved, the next step for us is to seek for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because it's that Spirit that empowers us. What does it empower us to do? Well, that brings me to the third fundamental principle that we cannot afford to lay aside. It is that God still demands holiness. Oh, I can almost hear the channels being turned over now. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't have gone there. We don't want to hear about holiness. Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That means it's something that we can't overlook. It's not a situation of, it's okay if you can, but if you can't, don't worry about it. No, we have to apply ourselves to the spiritual truths of God's Word so that we become more like Jesus. Not a better version of ourselves, but to become more like Jesus. And then lastly, there is this fourth fundamental principle. I'll just read it to you because I think it speaks for itself. God wants us to understand that there is a second coming of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Any moment now, the trump of God could sound, and the church, those that have prepared themselves, could be caught away to meet the Lord in the air. I'm in that number. How about you today? You can be there if you'll just ask Him to come into your life. Precious Jesus, I pray right now that You will speak to every viewer. Help us to hear the things that we need to hear from Your Word so that we might be found ready when You return. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Looking forward to my mansion that Jesus has built for me. I want to see those gates of pearl, and I want to wait in that crystal sea. But most of all, I want to see Jesus. Yes, that is my greatest desire. Just to look upon His face and praise His wonderful name. I'm ready to leave just any time. Ready to go, ready to call this old world for that heavenly storm, and I'm ready to go. While I wait for his appearing, I'm constantly watching the sky, for in the hour that we think not, the Son of Man will come, and he's gonna take all his children home. And I'm gonna be in that chosen view, my friend, I pray you are too. For you see, the time is near, and I have no need to fear, for I'm ready, yes, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.